Welcome to the Dungeon of Delirium podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the season premiere of the Dungeon of Delirium podcast. We're really glad to have you back. While tonight's episode is technically episode 3, we consider episodes 1 and 2 to be our season 0. Just a toe in the water, the first couple of steps on the lonely road to hell. Tonight is then the first episode of our inaugural season, and we're thrilled for what's in store. This season, we have a slate of original morbid tales and 3 holiday episodes, starting with our Halloween special on October 31st.
Speaking of our Halloween special, we're having a bong giveaway in the weeks leading up to it, and the winner will be announced on the podcast on Halloween. We'll be giving away a custom Dungeon of Delirium bong, so if you'd like to enter, all you have to do is rate us on your favorite podcast app and then send us a screenshot on Instagram at Dungeon of Delirium, or by email at contact@dungeonofdelirium.com. Good luck.
Tonight's tale takes us back to 1983, to a gathering of sorcerers in the parlor of an old Victorian manor tucked away in a small New England town. So sit back and relax and prepare yourself for Sever Thy Wretched Tongue. Good evening. Come, take your seats. I trust you found the terms in your invitations agreeable. Nod your heads. For those listening to this transmission, let it be known that all 6 in attendance, myself being number 7, have nodded their heads. They are under strict orders to not speak a word during our ceremony. This is for their safety, not my ego. All will become clear momentarily. Once again, for the benefit of those listening, I will introduce those assembled. If you have anything to add, please jot it down on your provided notepad and I will read it out. Counterclockwise from my left, we have Mortimer Stonehollow and his lovely wife, Marie Stonehollow. Both grandmasters of the Shadow Arts in their own right, they transcended their peers when they began conducting seances in tandem, contacting entities further and deeper than any medium previously thought possible. Next, we have Sergei Murari, the foremost historian of magics the world over. His writings have informed and inspired many of us here tonight. Not only a historian, but a formidable practitioner in his own right. Virginia Stringfellow, the leading authority on mentalism, mind magic, and ritual hypnosis. Her work on astral projection is worthy of a Nobel Prize were our particular field of study considered. Next, we have Dr. Reginald West, who is recognized almost universally as the most effective demonologist from the Vatican to the salons of Paris. Lastly, we have Nancy Priest, telekinetic wunderkind of the 1960s, levitator and channeler of powerful magics from the fifth door. I am, of course, Arthur Roswell. I made a name for myself as a summoner of spirits and astral traveler without equal, if I may say so myself. Collectively, we are arguably the seven most powerful occultists of the 20th century. I am afraid I must begin tonight's proceedings on somewhat of a dour note. I am dying. This is to be the last ritual I perform in this body, which is why I have asked you all to be here to witness and to help me empower it. I wish for my consciousness to not simply drift from my body, but to be propelled with purpose toward a specific point, far outside the realms of astral travel or cosmic navigation. And I have found a suitable entity with a compatible agenda. I have made a deal to secure my passage, and I require the six of you to enable this voyage. Before we call upon this being, I must first tell you of a different spirit I met on my cosmic travels. A warrior, part of a small tribe of berserkers from the Nordic tundra. He told me of his tribe, of the rumors surrounding them. They were said to be cannibals, vampires of a sort. They would drink their enemies' blood and store their remains in longhouses. Though their numbers were quite small, they were each the equal of 10 men in battle. In truth, they stored the bodies not to eat, but to cultivate a psychedelic moss they would consume before battle. It was potent enough to set free the perceptual limits of the human mind and allow them to connect with one another both physically and mentally, so that each fighter was in fact every fighter, and every fighter was at once each fighter. Forgive me, I'm meandering. I mention this anecdote because I used their methods to cultivate my own batch of, and forgive me the pronunciation, Mosis Verd Frere, which I believe translates to warrior moss. Meet my mentor and master, Ambrose Fletcher. He passed in his sleep just over a decade ago, and I had the foresight to preserve his corpse. For in addition to my work as a summoner and traveler, I am also somewhat of a capable necromancer. I have been perfecting the warrior moss for the last 70 cycles of the moon, and I believe that it is now ready for tonight's ritual. One by one, you will be handed a piece of the moss from Father Ambrose's corpse. He too will enable my ascension. Do not eat the moss until we all have a dose and can synchronize our travel. Take this not as a selfish or egotistical process. This will certainly be mutually beneficial. All of us will become as powerful as any of us. All will receive the same boon, and all will become
more. Okay, I see that everyone has a dose. So consume your moss. Chew it thoroughly and swallow every bit. Cups of water are being handed out to wash the remainder from your teeth and tongue. Now, why did I insist on quiet? It is for practical reasons. The entity I have contacted lives in the vibrations between sound and has a power to take hold of you as easily as you bring the water to your lips. I will begin to call it forth in just a moment. In our atmosphere, the physical limits of sound cap off roughly at 194 decibels. The air can simply not carry a sound louder than that. It's loud enough to break bones, liquefy internal organs, deafen and kill all living creatures in the vicinity. It is, however, not loud enough to rend a hole in the wall between worlds. Sperm whales are even louder than this, as underwater even louder sounds are possible. Sperm whales can achieve over 230 decibels, enough to vibrate a human skeleton to pieces. Still, not enough to open the door to the next world. The particular entity that we will be speaking with tonight entered our dimension 100 years ago today, May 20th, 1883, on the small island of Krakatoa off the coast of Indonesia. A volcanic eruption of catastrophic magnitude took place. All 3,000 inhabitants of the island were killed instantly. Sailors 40 miles away on the ocean suffered ruptured eardrums. Barometric sensors 100 miles away registered over 170 decibels, enough to cause deafness. The explosion was so loud and so forceful that it traveled the world over 7 times in the next 5 days, even inspiring the famous Scream painting by Edvard Munch. The center of the blast was so powerful that it pressurized the air around it, allowing the sound to reach volume otherwise impossible on Earth. It is estimated to have reached 310 decibels, which, as it turns out, is enough to tear a hole through dimensional walls large enough to travel. That's how this entity arrived. Unfortunately for it, it seems that the door was just one way. In order for it to return, and for me to ensure my place far beyond the stars, I need to leverage our collective power. You see, our world, our physics, they were architected intentionally to block such travel. These entities destabilize our world. They threaten to subsume us and fold us back into the dimensional pocket from whence they came. By now, the moss should be working. I feel it myself. It is now no longer safe for even me to speak, for we will be bringing the Krakatoan into the room. I will now communicate with you exclusively through psychic connection opened by the warrior moss. I will be manipulating the ambient sound in the room to invite it in. Can you feel it? Ooh, it is a glorious vibration. I believe I have it contained, but we haven't long. Though I have made a deal with it, it must be understood that this mind is utterly alien to us, and us to it. Whatever deal I have struck is at best tenuous. I need you each to focus your mind on the pulsing sounds and lend me your power. Let the colors wash over you like rain over stone. This will end soon. Oh, don't let go yet. Pour into my vessel the power you hold. Allow me to be the conduit. Oh, don't let go yet. Pour into my vessel the power you hold. Allow me to be the conduit.
Do not let go.
Pour into me the vessel of power that you hold. Do not let go.
Don't let go yet.
Pour into my vessel.
Pour
into
my vessel
the power you
hold. Allow me to be.
Allow me to be the conduit. The energy I hold inside me is nearly that of the sun. Do you know why the sun is so quiet? Yes, of course, sound can't travel through space, but why? Not mechanically, but for what purpose was it architected such a way? For what purpose is the sun silenced? The sound of the sun and stars would tear through us like a knife through butter. We are protected by necessity from the sounds of the stars. I can hear them now, and they are screaming. They understand what is to be, what was always to be. They have screamed a warning since the dawn of time because they knew of the horror that would be wrought in their name one day. They knew that I would swallow them up and cast them aside like a child's bauble. What are you writing, Marie? Predestination versus free will. Laughably pedestrian of you. All that is, all that has ever been, every gust of wind, every snowflake, every single man, woman, child, creature, molecule, atom, quark, had to behave exactly as it has for incomprehensible tidal waves of time and space, for what is now to be. How could I have been an accident? It is theorized that if a sound could reach 1100 decibels, that it would be sufficient to unmake the universe. It would be enough to generate a black hole so all-encompassing that the event horizon would be trillions of times larger than the known universe. A black hole that would swallow not only everything that is or will be, but everything that ever was. A black hole that simply wouldn't end existence as we know it, but a black hole that would make it so there never was a then. I told you earlier that I was dying. This was, of course, no surprise to any of you, for it was you six who engineered my disease. It was you six who fed the hungry, blackened tumor in the back of my mind. And you come here tonight, greedily frothing like single-minded hounds, thinking you'd siphon my husk dry. You came to slay a dragon, but you foolishly wandered down its throat. It was, of course, your inflated egos that led you astray. The seven most powerful occultists of the 20th century? We are rifts apart. And now I've siphoned and digested your power and severed your wretched, traitorous tongues. It was always your destiny to be food, just as it was always mine to feed. And I will travel beyond the stars and shut the door behind me forever. Now your heads are growing heavy and the ringing in your ears more pronounced. I have held your minds in stasis so that you will feel yourselves torn asunder by the great scream of unmaking. Then you will be in oblivion. The great never was. Until then, I must warn you. You will be in great pain. And I thank you for that.
Ah.
Sever Thy Wretched Tongue was written, produced, directed, and composed by Kevin Klosman. Executive produced by Kevin Klosman and Chelsea Darling. Narration by Kevin Klosman. We'll be back next week with another terrifying tale, so set your clocks and we'll see you there.